I would like to thank everybody who helped open the meeting by reading. As I stated, this is a speaker meeting, and I'm going to turn the meeting over to Michael to introduce the speaker. All yours, Michael.
Well, it's my pleasure and honor to person who's been a very important part of my recovery. I met him several years ago. I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I don't mind. He's been very special to me. I met him a few years ago on a social media website, and he told me about this particular meeting about 10 years ago. And I've been coming back often, coming back for the last maybe 5 to 6 years because of the energy of this group. And after meeting this man, I realized how incredibly important he is to my recovery. He's now also a great sponsee who proves that he can endure a lot of stuff and teach me something, but he's a great sponsor who taught, hopefully I taught him something as well, but he's given more to me than I've given to him, I think. And I love him with all my heart, and he's, I use this word very rarely, and very, so when I say I feel blessed to have him in my life, I genuinely mean that. So with that, I'm going to give you Steve A. from the Highlands and Islands Group of Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. What do I do with that? I'm an addict. My name's Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Steve.
40 to 45 minutes, Steve.
Yeah, I know. I we'll see how we go. Yeah, those that know me know that I hit a milestone of recovery this week. 30 years on the 19th of October 1992. And I hear what Michael just said, and I'm kind of... is that really me that he's talking about still, you know, do I deserve that? Do I deserve those words? Because I still find myself questioning that. You know, there are times when I actually feel like a bit of a fraud in NA still, you know, I think for me, you know, you know, the only requirement for membership is desire to stop using. We talk about that. You know, I also think the other requirement for membership is feeling as if you don't belong. You know, because I think that was me, you know. Not in the very early part of my recovery, I didn't feel as if I belonged. It was like, well, how can this be happening to me? You know, what have I done to deserve all this good stuff that's coming into my life? You know. Yeah. And, you know, it's the same answer, I guess, to the other question that I think I asked of myself in my early recovery, and I know others did as well, was, you know, in response to the realization of what our lives had become, was why me? You know, and the simple answer to that question is why not you? Why not me? You know, what makes me sort of... What would make me special enough to have not gone, ended up where I ended up? You know, it's you know, because so much of my understanding of this program is about living life on life's terms, you know, and I've learned over the years that I have absolutely no control over that. I have no control of, you know, really about what's going to happen from one day to the next. And in some ways that in recovery, that's a kind of good thing. As a using addict, it was a bad thing. You know, it's strange, isn't it? You know, the way that all the negativity that I brought, I mean, all the negativity that I brought with me into recovery, you know, that question, why me, you know, that poor me, you know, thing, you know, once I'd started learning about what addiction was, started finding some acceptance about where it had taken me, And what it had done to me and what it had done to the people around me, you know. So, well, why not me? You know, well, why, what made me so special? You know, I took a lot of drugs. You know, and if I look at it, you know, I mean, if I break it down, ESH, right? Experience, what, you know, what got me here? I was young, I was fucked up, I was depressed, I was fucking suicidal, I was lost, I was confused, and I found drugs and I took a lot of fucking drugs for a long time and ended up worse than when I started. That's all, that's, I know that today, you know, that's the truth of my life. Most of the people in this room know my story, you know, the things I went through in active addiction, things I put myself through in active addiction sometimes, you know, the behavior, the larceny, the you know, the jails, the institutions, the death, all that stuff, you know, being locked away in prison cells and losing children and all that stuff, everything, all of it. You add it all up and it was chaos, you know. I mean, basically, you know, and I had no control over it whatsoever. Once it had kind of hit a certain point. Well, that doesn't mean I didn't kind of have some idea of what was going on, but the results were always chaos. The results were always chaos. You know, broken marriages, kids in care, like I said, you know, all that stuff. You know, that's where my using took me. My using brought me to my knees after 25 years. You know, a drug of choice was more. End of anything, whatever it was. My drugs I preferred because, you know, they took me further out of myself than the other ones. Some of it was just a kind of surface thing, you know, numb me enough, long enough to find the thing that I really wanted. But it didn't matter what it was, I'd take it. You know. And we all end up there, you know. I kind of reached out to the universe last night. I shared last night somewhere. Asked it for just a message. Give me a message. Where, you know, what do I do with this? And it actually came up with a fellowship. Seriously, fellowship. And it led me to page 13 of the basic text, the version I'm looking at. Doesn't matter what version it is. It talks about the disturbing realizations. We are powerless over our addiction. Our lives are unmanageable. Although we are not responsible for our disease, we are responsible for our recovery. And we can no longer blame people, places and things for our addiction. We must face our problems and our feelings. You know, that's a tough ask, right? I think that's a tough ask for any of us. And it was a tough ask for me. I remember it very poignantly of where it took me. You know, there's that old cliche in Narcotics Anonymous, isn't it? You know, the good news is you get your feelings back. The bad news is you get your feelings back. And holy hell, yeah. You know. But somehow or another, I survived those early days in recovery. Someone asked me what it felt like, and I said it felt like I'd been skinned alive, literally skinned alive and thrown out into the world. You know, I was full of pain. I was more confused in some ways than when I started. I wasn't using drugs anymore. That was, how the fuck did that happen? I've no idea. It just happened, you know, like that gift was given to me by the universe, my higher power, you know, whatever. The compulsion to use was kind of slowly lifted very early for me. I used to pester people every day. I said, I'm not going to use today. I'll use tomorrow, but I ain't using today. That's a choice. And I fought for that, you know, and it was hard work. And it was sometimes it was 5 minutes at a time to get myself through that. And I'd, you know, grab someone. So, you know, I can use later, but I'm not using now. I can use tomorrow, but I'm not using today. You know, it went on for a while. I was full of grief, you know, for that, my life, what it had been, for some fucking weird, twisted reason. I thought it was a good thing. And I did grieve. I did grieve for the lifestyle. I did grieve for the fucking, the hustle, the street, you know, that. Because it had been me for such a long time. You know, it was like one day I was that, and the next day I was something else. And I kind of look back at that today and realise, well, actually, you know, it really literally was that. It was like a switch had been turned on. It was like walking into a room, turning a fucking light bulb on. It was literally that quick. From one day I was a using addict to the next day I wasn't a using addict. And that's like slamming the brakes on it full speed, you know. It's like a fucking, you know, the only inevitable consequence of that is a fucking train wreck of feelings. And that's where I was at, you know. The first few months of my recovery were a fucking train wreck of feelings. It was no escape. I couldn't get, you know, I couldn't get away from them. They were just there constantly coming up, you know. You know, but I had to help. I had help, you know. I had this wonderful fellowship who was saying, we understand. We know what you're going through. We've been there. You know, we were all newcomers once. You know, and that was even from people with maybe less than 6 months clean were sharing that with me. They were saying, we know how to get through this today. This is how we did it, you know. So I followed their example and, you know, got involved, got honest for the first time in my life, truly honest with, you know, acceptance of, began to get the dawn of acceptance of who and what I'd been and what I'd done and the consequences, you know, that bit, that second point, you know. Or what, you know, I felt really guilty about having to accept the fact that I wasn't responsible for it. I found that difficult. I'm not going to lie. You know, it was like, well, how can I not have been responsible for all this chaos in my life? All the people I'd hurt, all the damage I'd done to myself, you know, the scars, you know, the wounds. How can that be, you know? And, you know, the second part of that sentence, we are responsible for our recovery. It's on us, you know. It's, you know, Narcotics Anonymous, higher power and me have got me to where I am today, you know. And, you know, it's a sponsee of mine actually used to tell me about, used to say it quite frequently, that, you know, God helps those that help themselves. And if God is higher power, that'll do. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever word you want to use. You know, my higher power is not going to fix my life for me. My higher power was never going to fix my life for me. That was on me. That was about me making conscious decisions, having worked step one. You know, once I'd worked step one, I admitted my powerlessness and my life was unmanageable. I had some control. I could start making choices, because I couldn't make choices when I was a using addict, because the disease was there. It was rampant. It was, you know, there was no choice. I heard someone share in a meeting a little while ago that their drug of choice was actually the drug of no choice, because it wasn't a choice, you know. And I was totally ruled by that. You know, but the process of recovery about taking responsibility for myself, taking responsibility for my actions, letting go of the fact that I wasn't responsible in some ways for the damage that I'd done. You know, I was still accountable for it. I think there's a difference. I was still accountable for the damage I did. I was on all the levels, you know, not just to other people, but mostly to me, you know. You know, it talks about, you know, we read that every meeting, you know. I was damaged goods. But you helped me, you know, the fellowship helped me, you know, to come to terms with it by sharing that they'd been through the same stuff. And it's like, I'm always absolutely blown away by that, you know. How does that work? You got a bunch of crazy people in a room together, and and they talk about their lives, and they at the end of that process, they feel better. You know, we, the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, that's the power. You know, the power of this program is fucking mind blowing. How can that happen? How can this bunch of crazy fucking mixed up misfits come together in one place and get well? It's incredible. It's just, you know, Michael used the word gift. You know, the gift is there. It's Narcotics Anonymous is the gift. You know, my recovery is the gift. You know, I've shared this before too. You know, I remember being about 18 years clean or something. I'd been asked to share in a meeting in a place that I was at, and there was, I was the person with the longest clean time in the room. And I remember feeling embarrassed. I remember feeling embarrassed about sitting in this room telling people I was 18 years clean. And I guess I was kind of maybe asking for the help. I was asking for some help. I was kind of reaching out to the universe for something to try and make sense of that feeling. And what came back to me was, it's not your fucking recovery, pal. You don't own your recovery. Your recovery doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and part of the responsibility for me, as I see it, as my membership of NA, is that I look after that gift. And I remember thinking, well, it doesn't seem unreasonable under those circumstances to give these guys a bit of a kind of sit rep, you know, report. How am I doing? You know, how am I looking after the gift that you gave me? You know, am I treating it with the respect that it deserves? You know, am I doing enough to ensure that it's intact enough to pass on to the next addict? Because that was the deal, you know, keep coming back, don't use, give it away when you've got it. And in order to give something, it's no good me giving away something that's broken, right? I can't share something that's broken, because what's the point? You know, have this gift, it's broken and useless, but you can have it, and that doesn't work, you know. So the responsibility, my responsibility, for me, as an NA member, is to take this seriously and to realise that in order to give it back, I've got to have fucking looked after it. I've got to have nurtured it and done my best to help it to grow a little bit, you know, to become better, you know, to continue to strive to be that better person today than I was yesterday, no matter what else is going on. You know, I don't always get that right. I mean, shit, you know, my life right now is in fucking, I have no idea, you know, it's, the jacks are in the air. Who knows where they're going to fucking land? I don't know right now, but it's okay, you know, because fucking, I have this program in my life that says, well, it doesn't matter, because right here, right now, you're clean, you're in a meeting, you're sharing about your experience, trying to know, and nothing else fucking matters. Absolutely, really doesn't. Nothing else matters, because without this, without what I've got and what you've given me, none of that stuff means anything, because I wouldn't have it anyway, you know, and I wouldn't have the tools to survive what the world and the universe is throwing at me right now. So I need this, no matter what. I need Narcotics Anonymous in my life. I want Narcotics Anonymous in my life. It's a choice, you know. I'm incredibly grateful for everything I have in my life. The good, the bad, and the ugly that I can experience at 67 years old. I can sit here and say, I'm still here, and that's a fucking miracle in itself. I shouldn't really be here. I should have died a long time ago, you know. I've come close to death many times, you know. Even in recovery, you know, I've suffered from stuff that's kicked the ass out of me, you know, and the universe has conspired to get me through it, and I've survived that. And I've got to think, well, you know, is there a reason for any of that? You know, maybe, you know, I'm not the best judge of that. What I do know is that, you know, without this without this fellow, without you, without the fellowship, because you are the fellowship. We are the fellowship. It's not in the books. It's not fucking in the movies. It's not anything. It's us. You know, we are the fellowship. You know, this motley fucking crew of addicts that fucking somehow or another managed to find the fucking peace and sort of serenity that we'd be looking for all our lives by sharing about what it was like. And you know, continuing to be willing to listen and to learn on a daily basis to whatever the universe has got for us. And you know, I mean, I can look at my life sometimes, I do, you know, I look at the negative stuff and I just go down, you know, I go into this, I sink into that place and it's like, you know, nothing makes any fucking sense. You know? But if I lift my eyes up and do what you asked me to do, which was to hand my will and my life over to the power greater than myself, there's always something to be found from whatever it is that's going on that makes fucking sense and that gives me the opportunity to grow and to learn, to find some way of getting through, you know. And if I can't do it on my own, I know where to go to ask the right questions to get the help I need, to listen to other people sharing about how they've got through it. You know, it's such a powerful thing. I'm not actually often stuck for words, but when I think about what this is and really kind of allow that feeling to come into my being, you know, fellowship, what does it mean to me? What does it mean to the people I know and love that have the same experience? It's actually quite overwhelming. What we do for each other, how we manage to help each other get through these horrible things that happen in life. You know, life is difficult. Life is full of fucking pitfalls and complicated fucking people. People that don't work a program in their lives, that don't get it, that don't understand, and why should they? You know, they're lucky enough not to have ever fucking needed it, maybe, or, you know, they're unlucky enough not to have understood that they might need it and allowed it into them, into their lives, to work the miracle for them. You know, this, to receive the gift of fucking some kind of serenity in our life, sometime at some kind of understanding that it's okay, you know, because it is, you know, that's the message I first ever heard out of any other addict's mouth in recovery was, it's okay, you're going to be all right, hang in there, you know, you can get through this, you know, we're here to help you, we love you, we want what's, you know, we want you to be the best person you can be. And those were the message I heard in the first fucking 48 hours of my recovery from newcomers with less than 6 weeks clean. They got it and understood it, you know, and it was like, wow, you know, I think, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, I'm just free flowing this, guys. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what's coming out of my mouth, but it is, you know. You know, there's that thing about friendship, you know, it's like friendship, friends come and go, you know, they do, that's true, right? But the thing about friendship is that we can meet someone and instantly know that they're our friends. There's some innate sense inside us that connects and we say, yeah, that there's a fit, you know, this is work, this will work. And it's something my grandfather told me fucking decades ago. I remember him saying it. He said that two of the greatest pleasures in his life, one was meeting his friends, and the rest, the second one was allowing himself, if you like, to spend the rest of his life getting to know them. I mean, I didn't know what NA was when I first got here. I didn't understand any of this stuff when I first got here. I didn't know what fellowship was when I first got here. But I knew something inside of me said, this is right. You know, and I've been granted the the time, the space, and the courage through my higher power to actually get to know it, you know, to get to understand or begin to get to understand what this is, you know, what is this, you know, this fellowship that we all kind of, I rely on it. I rely on Narcotics Anonymous today to feed me, you know, spiritually. I rely on Narcotics Anonymous to feed me emotionally and physically sometimes, you know, to do those things, you know, to survive, to get through this stuff, you know. I'm still the fucking broken, damaged person I was when I first got here in many ways, you know. I've worked through the steps. I've been to countless fucking meetings, you know. I've done all the things you asked of me, you know. But sometimes that small damaged fucking person is still there, you know, kind of in the distance looking back at me, you know. And I can go back there any time, you know. You know, I can find myself sliding back down that road every now and again, and it's like, shit, you know, this is not where you need to be going. You know, you need to do something about this, and I'll either talk about it, or I'll come to a meeting, or I'll look at the steps, or I'll read a bit of literature, or, you know, whatever. Not pick up, not use, keep coming back, you know. It really is a simple message. It's really hard to maybe try and explain that, you know, to anybody outside of Narcotics Anonymous, how simple this really is, you know. Because I guess from the outside, it looks a bit weird, you know. You know, people don't understand it. But that's okay, they don't have to, you know. As long as we start to learn to understand it, that's what I'm learning, you know. Am I willing to allow this program to work in my life today? Yes. Do I do it all the time? No. Can old behavior creep up on me and smack me in the ass? Yes. You know, can life turn up and smack me on the ass? Yes. You know, does that mean I have to use? No. Doesn't. Not anymore. It did, you know. That was always what I would do. If I was, you know, if I was faced with a difficult situation, you know what it was, I'd use. Because that was the only solution I knew. You know, I would use. And if I couldn't use drugs, I'd use you. You know. And if I couldn't use you, I'd abuse myself somehow, you know, whatever, you know. It was almost like, if I hurt more, the feelings will hurt less. That never worked, you know. And I'm still capable of doing it today. I can put myself into situations where, you know, it's going to hurt. I know it's going to hurt. But I do it anyway. Why the fuck do I do that? It's you crazy bastard, you know. And, you know, there's step two right in my face, you know. Yeah, you're crazy. You're a crazy motherfucker, you know. There's a solution, oh yeah. Come to believe power greater myself could restore me to sanity, you know. And I'm... Those things, you know. Those light switches, you know. I can change the way I feel in an instant. You know, I've learnt that. You know, I can turn negative into a positive. Just, you know, just by going left and not right, whatever, you know. But resistance is always there. The resistance to do that is always there. You know, my disease is always with me saying, no, let's go this way, you know. No, fuck off, you know. I don't want to do that, you know. And it's like with the... I remember not that long ago in my recovery realizing I was the still suffering addict, you know. I am the still suffering addict. End of. You know, I suffer from a disease from which there is no known cure. You know. However, you know, recovery is possible. You know, and that doesn't mean I'm ever going to be cured. I don't think I'll ever be cured. you know, I'm not sure if I want to be cured, actually. That's weird, isn't it? You know, what would life be if I was cured? It would be kind of a bit dull, I think, in a funny kind of way. I mean, it's not that I invite willingly all this insanity into my life when it comes, because I don't, you know, but it's there, you know, because I'm not, you know, it says, you know, I'm not responsible for my disease. I didn't ask to be an addict. And I was sitting there at fucking 12, 13 years old smoking dope and taking fucking drugs, you know, with this as a game plan. That wasn't the game plan. It wasn't my idea that I was going to end up as a fucking hopeless, useless fucking piece of shit, you know, fucking crawling around on the floor, you know, trying to find fucking drugs in the carpet or eating food out of the gutter. Been there, done that, you know. All because I didn't like the way I felt. Couldn't cope with the way I felt. And even today, you know, I'll be honest, even today, sometimes I struggle with the way I feel. Sometimes I don't like feeling the way I feel. But something I've learned is that's kind of why me, why not me? I'm back there again, right? And it's like, well, it's okay, you know, it's all right. Just sit and feel it, you know. Don't try and fucking understand it. I don't have to understand the way I feel some of the times. I just need to experience it. I just need to accept that's the feelings I'm in. I'm in that feeling, you know. Maybe I can name it. Maybe I can. Maybe I can understand it. Maybe I can. It doesn't, it's irrelevant. You know, what it is that I need to find some acceptance around it. It's, no matter what it is, if I'm accepting of whatever it is that's in front of me, I'm not fighting it. You know, and if I'm not fighting it, I'm surrendering. You know, and if I'm surrendering, I'm okay. Because I can't fight addiction with addiction's tools. I can't fight the disease with the tools it throws at me, because it's better at it than I am. You know, I need to find other tools. And the tools I found are in this program. It's the fellowship. It's you guys. It's us, we, the fellowship. Are the tools. Whether I read them or listen to them or whatever, you know. I don't know where, I have no idea where my life's going right now. I'm making plans to go to the States for a while. You know, just because it's the right thing to do. You know, consequences. Whatever they might be. Not, it doesn't matter, you know, because it could be anything. It could, no, because I think at the end of the day, you know, it's like, you know, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for, I didn't ask to become an addict. I didn't ask for pain to still come into my life. You know, it just does, you know, and that's life on life's terms, you know, that's where I'm at right now. You know, I'm facing this thing and it's going to be, it'll be okay. I know it'll be okay, you know, because I have we, the fellowship, in my life. You know, I have this power of the universe in my life, you know, that's looking after me, that wants what's best for me, even if I don't understand what that is, and even if I don't want it, you know, I know that that's right, you know, because I know that's one thing for me, you know, my definition of a higher power is that I've it helps you to understand the difference between what's right and what's wrong, you know, and that doesn't always mean that I act in accordance with that, because I really don't, you know, sometimes I do the wrong thing anyway, you know, self-will creeps in, you know, end up having to do a few more fucking, think about a bit more fucking program, you know. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever, you know, wherever that bit fits in, you know, it's like, if I've got a defect throwing itself at me, I've got to try and figure out, well, what is it, you know, what's that about? If I can figure it out, that's great. If I can't, I just accept it and say, well, okay, well, God help me to fucking sort it out, you know, because that's where my higher power comes in, you know, that it helps me to do the things I can't do myself. And there's lots of things I can't do myself because I'm not capable, because I'm an addict. I have this disease that, you know, drags me into places I don't want to go. And I'm not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally, you know. Well, yeah, you know, 3 decades of recovery and kind of, you know, not using today, no matter what. And it's okay, you know, I've kind of got a smile on my face. I'm looking at it, you know, I'm thinking, okay, you know, he's fucked up there, boy, for whatever reason, you know, intentionally or unintentionally. And, you know, we've got a lot of step 9 and 8 floating about in meetings in the last, just for today's recently. And it's like, okay, you know, I know, you know, sometimes it's the time, sometimes it's not the time. And that's something that you guys and my higher power conspire to show me, you know, when's the right time to stick your head above the parapet and when's the right time to actually, you know, say, okay, you know, leave that alone, let it go, because it's not going to do any good. It's going to do more harm than, you know, that's not what I'm about. You know, that's not who I am. I don't believe. So, yeah. I'm blown away, really. Fucking 3 decades, man. I am blown away by that. I remember being in a convention with my partner, probably about 2 or 3 years clean, I think. And there were people there with multiple years of recovery, So I must have been quite, maybe not even 18 months, maybe, I can't remember. I remember turning around to my missus and we both looked at each other and it was like amazed. How could anybody have that much clean time? And it was, wasn't a great, you know, it was like 10 years max, you know, early days of recovery in Narcotics Anonymous in this country. There weren't that many people with a lot of clean time. Because there wasn't, hadn't been any NA, you know, so that, of course no one had loads of clean time in NA. There wasn't, hadn't been NA. And so someone to be like even close to 10 years in 1993 or 4 in the UK was an event, you know. Like, really, how the fuck do they do that? You know, I'm learning now how they did that. They did that by fucking not using, keep coming back, give it away when they got it. And it comes back to that all the time for me, you know, that's it, you know. What else is there? When I'm keeping it to myself, I'm not well. When I'm not giving it away, I'm not getting it back. I get even sicker. That much I know, you know. So it's pretty obvious, really, isn't it? You know, the more I give it away, the more easily it is to keep hold of it. So I do lots of service. You know, carry the message to the still suffering addict. And that's what you asked of me in the first meeting I was ever in. You know, whatever it takes to do that, you know, build it and they will come. I was sharing about it last night. You know, it amazes me about Narcotics Anonymous is somehow or another, if two addicts get together and start a meeting, and it doesn't matter where it is, you know, what fucking dimension it's in necessarily, you know, addicts will find them, you know, somehow or another. There's like, it's like moths to a flame, right? Somehow. You know, you start meetings, people come. They grow. Or they don't. Sometimes they don't, that's the truth. Sometimes meetings fold and die, and, you know, that's okay, you know, that's the universe. You know, but others stick, others don't. Others grow and stay and you know, become greater than the sum of their parts, you know, and that in itself, then we're back to weed of fellowship, you know, weed of fellowship. Somehow or another, carry a message into the universe that we're here and we can recover. And we don't have to do anything to do that. We don't have to stick posters on walls or fucking plaster buses with fucking phone numbers. You know, addicts find us. Addicts that want recovery find us. And that happens, you know, it's inevitable. It will just happen because there's something about we, the fellowship, that attracts all on its own. And that's fucking mind-blowing. I've watched it happen over the years many times. And I know others have as well, you know. And it's such a privilege, you know. I think, you know, I've never really thought about that before. You know, in a way, being an addict is a fucking privilege, because being an addict in recovery, you know, it's led me to being an addict in recovery, and being an addict in recovery is an absolute privilege. To have the freedom that fucking, you know, you guys, we the fellowship, have to offer is just incredible. You know, it's the freedom from active addiction. It's, yeah. Clever motherfuckers who ever put all this together in the dark, distant days of the history of our fellowship and the ones before them. You know, it's like, how did they know? And it's, you know, I think really it's the message, you know, it's like, that's it. It's the message. The message is there. We can recover. You know, we do recover. That's the message, you know, and that was the message that was coming out of the universe to these guys in the early days. And say, look, there's a way, you know, you can do this. It's just do it. And addicts will come, addicts will find you, addicts will get well with you, and it will grow. And, you know, we don't have to do anything to make that happen. It's going to do it all on its own. You know, with a little help from our friends, from we the fellowship, you know, people willing to step up and fucking do what's needed to be done, you know, just to keep the doors open. And that's really all it is, you know, it's keep the doors open. If you're lucky enough to have a coffee pot, stick it on, throw a bit of literature on the table, spirit, you know, physically or virtually, however you want to do it, make it available. It works. That's how I found NA, because that's what addicts were doing. They were going, listen, this works. If we do it a little bit more, maybe we'll get other people to come and see that it works too. And and I was one of those people, and there it is, you know, and here I am, you know, all these years later, doing the same stuff. I'm not doing anything different than I was 30 years ago, really. You know, in a lot of ways, I'm not the same person. Well, I am the same person, but I kind of, there's a different part of me come out to play in 2022. You know, the better side of me. Because you know, I'm all still there. All of me is still here, you know, the bits that I don't want, they're all still floating around in there somewhere. Yeah, blessed, grateful. I don't know if any of that made any sense to anybody, guys. I'm kind of done. I haven't really got much else. I could speak for hours, but I'm not going to. I'm a bit tired, and I'm incredibly grateful to be in a meeting, and I'm incredibly grateful to be clean today. And I want to thank every one of you for helping me stay clean, and by allowing me to be of service. Thank you.